This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, the sixth usul of teaching of the Quran is to live it yourself. If you notice, I'm following the same sequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to teaching of the Quran, which is recite it, purify yourself and the people, explain and understand it, and then live it. And that's what we are following here. So therefore, for the teacher of the Quran, it is absolutely essential to live the Quran yourself. First and foremost reason to live the Quran yourself is because people listen with their eyes. People do not listen with their ears, they listen with their eyes. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. So therefore, let us be very clear, as teachers, we are willy-nilly, whether we like it or not, role models for our students. Now, question to ask is not whether I want to be a role model, because if you are a teacher, you are a role model. Question to ask is, what kind of role model do I want to be? Because the reality is that students will emulate you and they will use you and your actions as the dalil for their actions. They will use you and your actions as the proof for doing or not doing something. I'll tell you an amusing or slightly sad story, but amusing nonetheless. My driver once, I loaned him to an uncle of mine who was invited to a party which was given by a very wealthy man, and this party was supposed to be full of all kinds of khurafat, all kinds of prohibited things. So I, of course, I didn't want to go, and I didn't go to this party. It was a wedding party. But there was an elderly uncle of mine who was a friend of the grandfather of that family. So he called me and he said, "Can you loan me your car and driver, because this is the night and I don't want to drive?" So I said, "Of course, most welcome." So my driver went, and he went with my uncle. He saw what was happening in that wedding party. And next morning, my driver comes and tells me, "Sir, you know, you are unnecessarily rigid." So I said, "What kind of thing is this? I mean, what do you mean I'm unnecessarily?" He said, "Do you know who was in that party yesterday, last night? And may Allah forgive me, he listed for me the names of many of our religious leaders, many of our teachers and ulama who were in that party. Now he tells me, if what was happening there was wrong, how come so-and-so was there? How come so-and-so was there? How come the head of that organization was there? How come the head of that madarsa was there?" He says, "You are the problem." He's telling me, he was a bit of an uppity chap. And he used to tell me various things. So he tells me, "You have a problem." He said, "You could have also gone yesterday. You could have enjoyed yourself." So I told him, "Man, look, you know, these things, I mean, music and dancing and so on and all of the stuff which was happening in the party was wrong." He said, "If it is wrong, why is so and so there?" Now, think about this. Here is a man. He himself is not an alim. He's I don't like to say jahil or ignorant, because that's not true. Alhamdulillah, he knew something. But he's obviously not an alim. But he takes as his dalil who? He takes as his dalil people who he sees as his teachers. And may Allah forgive them. Allah only knows their reason for going there. Whatever that reason is, I don't want to go into that. But point is, those people were there. So the whole issue is that if you do something wrong, your students and other people who know you to be an alim are going to take your action as the dalil for their own actions. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, that will come back to haunt you, because you will reap the rewards, the returns and the rewards for their actions. So therefore, we have to be very, very clear in our minds and say that I will live by the Quran, because that is why the Quran came. The Quran came to show us how to live. The Sahaba succeeded because they lived by the Quran. We fail because we live by our own nafs and we ignore the Quran. So ask yourself this question, do I want to succeed or do I want to fail? My brothers and sisters, see if you look at the stories of the Sahaba, if you look at what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, do we have any instance where the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered something and you find the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did something else and then he tells the people, follow the kalam of Allah, don't look at me. Did he ever say that? Do we have an instance where the Sahaba did something which was against Islam, against the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then if somebody questioned them, did the Sahaba say, no, look at the book, look at the order, don't look at me, I am not a dalil. On the contrary, it is a famous qawl of many of the Sahaba, if somebody asked them what is Islam, if somebody asked them what should we do, they would say, kunu mithlana, become like us. Become like us. For the Sahaba, their lives was Islam. So therefore today, if you look at it, we have this common lament that many Muslims have with regard to the rest of the world. And we say, why do people blame Islam? If a Muslim does something wrong, why is Islam on trial? Why do people blame Islam? But seriously, look at our own history. Let us look at our own history. The Sahaba had quite the opposite view. The Sahaba's view was that a Muslim's action is the reflection of his Islam. And therefore, they said, kunu mislana, become like us. So my point is, if a Muslim does something wrong, who do you want people to blame? Who do you want people to blame? Because if the Muslim does something right, do you want people to say, he did this because he's a Muslim. This is a reflection of his Islam. Do you want them to say that? Or do you want to say, no, Islam has nothing to do with it. He is honest, he is compassionate, he is courageous. That is his personal, internal, his own ability, his own strength. Islam has nothing to do with that. Do you want people to say that? Obviously no. Then how can you object if people use the same meter, if they use the same measurement when you do something wrong? So very seriously, living by the Quran is not only not a choice for us, we have to do that, but it's also something which is the source of so much of benefit for us. Imagine, remember this, that if we live by the Quran, and if somebody takes that cue from us, and that person also models his life on the Quran, remember that you and I are going to get the benefit of all those actions of those people. Now, what objection can we have to that? What objection can we have to getting the benefits of the actions of all these people just because we decided to live by the Quran? In many cases, we might not even know those people exist. So many instances where somebody sees you going somewhere, doing something, and that person then takes it from you. And that person then does this. How many times do we benefit from that? For example, I remember once in an airport, I was sitting there and a young man came to me and he made salam. I didn't even know who he was. He came to me, he made salam. And he then told me, he said, Sheikh, I learned something from you. I want to thank you for this. I said, what? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know this guy. I mean, what did he learn from me? Obviously, he's not a student of mine. He said several years ago, and he gave me the name of the place. He said, I was passing through that place, and in the airport, I saw a man who was sitting reading Quran. He said, I saw this man, people are milling around, doing this, doing that, reading magazines and so on, and I saw this man, he was just sitting there, and he was reading Quran by himself. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful thing to do, that I spend my time productively when I'm sitting, I'm engaged in dhikr, and so I learned this thing. So I said, what does that have to do? I said, Alhamdulillah, it's very, very good, and I think it's a wonderful thing to do, but what does that have to do with me? He said, you were the man. Now I think about it. I didn't even know that this man was there in the airport. I didn't even know he had seen me. He said, since then I have been doing this. I have been, every time I am by myself, every time I am in an airport or somewhere where I am just waiting, I take out my Quran and I read. So he said, now imagine this. This is something which it was not even my intention to teach him that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful on me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that man to see something that I was doing. I am only saying this to tell you that, you know, these are things that we do unconsciously, and that is the reason why it's a good idea to get into a situation where you do good things unconsciously. Because then you don't have to put on an act to show anybody. So living the Quran, living by the Quran ourselves, this is the secret, and this is the secret of the success of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who learnt from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, I request you, on all of these things are linked. We cannot live by the Quran unless we understand the Quran. We cannot understand the Quran until we have Tazkiyatun Nafs. We cannot have Tazkiyatun Nafs unless we follow the methodology of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Tazkiyah. And we cannot do all of that unless we have the Ikhlasun Niyyah to teach and learn purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unless and until we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we love the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do this and to be pleased with us when we do this. Because at the end of the day, as I said, and I remind myself again and again, we will not be asked, what did you know? We will not be asked, how much of the Quran did you memorize? We will not be asked, what was the state of your Qirat? Did people listen to your Qirat or Quran? How many likes did you get on Facebook? How many YouTube videos did you have? How many jalsas of Qirat or competition? How many Qirat competitions did you win? We will not be asked any of these questions. We will be asked only one question, which is, what did you live by? Did you practice what you learnt? We will not be asked, what did you know? We will be asked, what did you do? And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live a life where, when we are asked this question, what did we do? We will not be found wanting. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.